going to read verses 10 through 17. The Bible says, and the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, Send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and country round about, and lodge, and get victuals. For we are here in a desert place. And he said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they said, We have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all this people. For they were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, Make them sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so, and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and brake and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat, and were all filled. And there was taken up of the fragments that remained to them 12 baskets. Is that mine? Not mine, because I'm preaching out of mine. All right. Thank you for turning that in. Yeah. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Thank you for your goodness to us, your mercy and your grace. Thank you for your great love that was displayed on the cross. Now, Lord, we ask that you'd bless this sermon. Speak to our hearts. Help us to block out the cares of today or the cares of this week. Just to allow, Holy Spirit, you to speak to our hearts, to teach us, to guide us. And truly, if there's one here today that has never received Christ as their Savior to save us, to save that soul, they would realize that salvation, eternal life, is not by their good works or their good deeds. It's not by church attendance. It's not by baptism. It's by placing their faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. So bless the message. Use me as your instrument. Use me as your servant. Despite my own faults and failures, help me to be a mouthpiece for these truths. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is a story that is told in Sunday school over and over again. It's a great account in the Bible. It's one of the miracles of Jesus. And just as a side note, it is the only miracle of Jesus that is told in all 4 of the Gospels. It's found in Matthew chapter 14. It's found in Mark chapter 6. Here in Luke chapter 9. And also in the Gospel of John chapter 6. Only of all the miracles, this miracle is recorded in all 4 of his Gospels. And so this morning we're going to look at this account here. And the title, of course, and I got the title really from the hymn that we sang this morning. We believe, as Bible believers, that little is much when God is in it. Amen? Little is much when God is in it. And the key is that God is in it. We're going to learn some lessons here out of this text this morning. So I want you to see some things. And on your handout that you have this morning, so it's so important that you have a handout, that I've got a number of the different references from the other 3 Gospels that are on the handout, so we don't have to turn back and forth, and that'll save some time. But you understand what's happened here. The Lord has begun his earthly ministry. He's been teaching and he's been preaching, and there's been healing taking place, and just a great work of the Lord. the apostles, we didn't read it, but in chapter number 9, in verses 3 and 4, he sends them out to preach. He sends them out to preach the kingdom of God, but just for a short amount of time, because he tells them here not to really take anything with them, and now they've returned from that. And they've seen a great work take place. And we don't have time this morning as well, but Herod is found in verse number 7. He begins to hear about some of these things that are taking place, and we'll preach that text at another time with regards to John and his beheading and all that takes place there. But now the apostles, as we saw in verse number 10, they've returned, and they're going to try now to get away to a place that's kind of private, maybe to get some rest. But the people have heard where they are, and the people begin the word begins to spread, and the people begin to flock to where Jesus is. They want to hear more from Jesus. They want to hear what's taking place. They've just been hearing about a great work of God that's going on. And so the Bible tells us that this is what has happened. And there Jesus has this crowd that has gathered there. And he teaches them, and the day is getting long. In fact, look at verse 12. It says, "And when the day began to wear away, the sun was beginning to set over the horizon." And now the apostles, and this is really the first point of my message this morning, 3 points. The reaction here of the apostles, the reaction of the Savior, and the reaction of the crowd. So their first reaction is the day is now coming to a close. They see this group of people, and they know that now these people, they've gathered, but there's nothing to feed them. There's no way to take care of them. And so their reaction is this, to send them away, verse 12. They say to the master, "Send the multitudes away that they may go into the towns and into the countries round about and to get lodging and to get food. For we're out here in a desert place. There's nowhere and no way we can feed them." And so this first reaction of the apostles is this. The need, they say to the master, it's just too great. We can't meet their need. It's just too enormous. It's just too great. "Send them away," they say to the master. And I'm not giving, I don't want to put any knock on the apostles, but just put yourself in their place as well. There's there's more than 5,000 people. On your handout, I put Matthew's account. Matthew, it says, "And they had eaten, after they had eaten it, there were about 5,000 men beside the women and the children." Luke just records 5,000 men. Matthew reminds us that there was the men, and then in addition to that, the women, and in addition to that, there was children that need to be fed. So there's far more than 5,000 people here. So put yourself in the apostles' place. How are we going to feed these people? How are we going to take care of these people? The need is just too great. Well, one of the lessons that we can learn is I think sometimes in our own lives, we're just like the apostles. And it may not be the same situation where they needed to be fed here, but there are times in life where there are all kinds of needs that come our way. There are spiritual needs, and there are emotional needs, and financial needs that come our way. And sometimes if we're not a people of faith, you know what? We can be like the apostles, and we could say, "It's just too great. It's just too much for me to handle. I just can't do this." And you know what? That's true. But that's why the Lord desires to be part of our life. Amen? I just wasn't part of my message. I just thought about it now, but I saw and glanced over one of our members who has lost a child consecutively 3 years in a row. That's a great need. Or there's others who were faced with a child who was diagnosed with cancer. That's a great need. What are we going to do? It's just too great. Or there's a husband who's going through repeated surgery for cancer. It's just too great, the need. What are we going to do? And we could go, and many other examples that I could give. And I just spoke with someone before the service, and there's a great burden and a need for one of their children. It's just a huge. And the apostles, they say, let's just send them away. Sometimes we wish these burdens that come in our lives, don't we? We could just say, oh, if we could just send them away. But we can't. We can't send them away. So that's their first reaction. It's the impossible. What am I going to do? And then the master says to them, he says this in verse 12, give ye them to eat. I mean, they first said, listen, Lord, there's nowhere we can get food to feed them. There's no place that they can eat. And we're out here away from everything. And then the reaction they're probably expecting of the Lord is, you know, you're right. We better send them before the sun completely sets. But the Lord doesn't say that. The Lord says, he says, give ye them to eat. And their reaction is this in verse 13. We have no more but 5 loaves and we have 2 fishes. Except that we should go and buy meat for all this people. And they did not have the means financially to buy meat for all of these people. And what they're now saying is, not only, Lord, is the need too great, but our resources are too small. And that's how we feel sometimes. Our resources are just too small. Lord, that's all. What are we going to do? There's just 5 loaves and there's just 2 fishes. And we need to be careful, because when we say that, you know what we're saying? We're saying, if that's us, we're saying is this. What we're really saying is that our God is just too small. The needs are too great and our God is too small. But the exact opposite is always true. Our needs may be great, but in God's eyes, our needs are small. Our needs are like nothing. Now look on your handout. Look at how it's recorded in John's Gospel. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And now look at the last part of the verse. And this he said to prove him. For he himself knew what he would do. That word prove him, it's found elsewhere in the scriptures. It's to put him to the test. It's to prove to the apostles, and we're going to see as we get into the message, to the people that God is who God is. That God can take care of whatever need comes across our path. And that's what's going to happen here. They're going to find that out. And then it said, the end of that verse, it said, for he himself, that means Jesus, he knew what he would do. Jesus already knew this. It wasn't like, oh, no, what are we going to do? I got 5,000 people to feed here. And he wasn't beginning to fret about it. Jesus already knew. In fact, as the crowd, I believe with all my heart, as the crowds began to gather there that day, I think Jesus already knew ahead of time, there's going to be a huge crowd here, and this is going to be a learning experience. We're going to learn this. We're going to teach people through all of what's taking place here. And that moves us into the second part of the message. That's the reaction of the Savior. He knows what's going on in your life, and he knows what's going on in my life. And he knows the situations that you're dealing with. And he knows the problems that we all have. The Lord is aware of our needs. Whether those are financial needs or whether they're emotional needs or spiritual needs or whatever that need might be, the Lord is aware of all of our needs. And so, look at Mark's account in Mark chapter 6 and verse 34 on your handout. under the reaction of the Savior. And Jesus, when he came out and he saw much people, he was moved with compassion. Aren't you glad this morning that we have a compassionate Savior? He loves us. He cares for us. He desires to walk with us each and every day. It is pleasing to him. Don't ever forget this. It is pleasing to the Lord to meet our needs. In fact, there's nothing more that he loves than to meet your need and to meet my need. There's nothing more. There was probably such great joy in the Savior as he began to think, how these people here, they're going to be fed. I'm going to feed them. I'm going to take care of them. That is the compassion of the Savior. He was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep having no shepherd. And he began to teach them, Mark said, many things. See, it's a teaching moment. Life, ladies and gentlemen, life is filled with teaching moments from the Lord. Sometimes we wish perhaps that we didn't have to learn these lessons and we don't understand why God is teaching us these lessons. But God doesn't waste time. And God doesn't waste circumstances. And God doesn't waste events in our lives. He uses them to teach us. Teaching moments. The whole Christian life is about teaching moments. Whatever experiences you're dealing with, it's a teaching moment from the Lord. Whatever problems come into our lives, it is a teaching moment. Whatever difficulties come, it is a teaching moment. And whatever triumphs and victories come into our lives, they are teaching moments as well. And so he reacts and he says, give you them to eat. So the Lord is aware of our needs. And he's aware of your needs. But this is so important. The Lord asks us to place our resources in his hands. Our resources in his hands. So they say, look again at verse 13. Jesus says, go give them to eat. And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go buy meat for everybody else. And then verse 14, he says to them, well, tell them to sit down by 50s. And they did so. And in verse 16, he took the 5 loaves and he took the 2 fishes. In Matthew's gospel, it's put this way. He says about the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, just bring them thither to me. Just give them to me. And that's what the Lord asks with our resources. Listen, someone said this. They said, God begins where we are and he uses what we have. We're going to have a missionary here tonight. Lord willing, we may have missionary Paul Lawal here next Sunday. He's been a long-term missionary. He's a Nigerian national. He and his wife Esther are in the United States. And he's up in Vergennes right now. And we've been trying to make contact back and forth, but I believe he's going to be here next week. Nigeria is a very difficult place to minister. Our missionary that's going to be here tonight in the Philippines, it is a very difficult place sometimes to minister. But I think of our missionaries that start out, and a couple of our missionaries have returned from the field, and we had a missionary family here not too long ago, the Mortensons, that are going to Honduras. And was he a police officer? I believe he was a police officer. He had a career and was serving in church down in Florida. And God burdened his heart for the people of Honduras. He left the police department and he entered into the ministry. And now they are raising support, planning on going to. In fact, they just arrived in Honduras with 85% of their support. But I thought about them. One day, they had no support. None. Zero. Nothing. And they stepped out by faith, and God began. They stepped out with what they had, and God began to bless, and God began to use them, and God brought it from point A to point B. They just said, God, who I am and what I have, I give for you to use. And the Lord's teaching that here to them. The Lord asks us to place all of our resources. Listen, everything that we have is the Lord's. People broke down in front of my house this past week, and anyhow, I had things to do, and had to get going, and they broke down, and they said this, they need a jump, and so I got my car, I drove to give them a jump, and I said, well, I can do that, and then we got there, and I said, what exactly happened, and they said the car kind of was coming down the hill, and everything just kind of, the light started to flash, and it just died. And saying, oh, I'm no mechanic by any means, but I said, that's probably an alternator problem, not a battery problem. And we tried to jump in, it wouldn't start. And they said, well, could you give us a ride to North Adams? No, I said, I can't give you a ride to North Adams. I've got things to do. I'm thinking, I didn't say that. In my head, I'm thinking, I can't give you a ride. I've got to get the grass cut. But then I realized my house, my cars, my lawnmower, it's all the Lord's. All right, let me go get my other car. But then between the time I left and the time I got home and got my car, my attitude got better. Got back, got them in the car. And they were, the woman, she, this sounds, I didn't really quite realize it at first, because this will really sound bad on my account, because I didn't want to do this at first. The woman was pregnant. And there's two guys, and they're, so Shelly was leaving, she had to go, and I said, yeah, I think she's pregnant, so I've got to take them to North Adams. And it was hot, you know, on Saturday, it was humid, hadn't. So I get them back in there, and they're just, you know, they're fit to be tied, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, I start to talk with them, and actually we were on their street 2 weeks ago handing out tracts and leaving flyers. So they didn't know it right off, but we're on our way to North Adams, and I'm making small talk, and I said, well, and the language was a bit much. And so then I said, well, I'm the pastor of the Mount Greylock Baptist Church. And the language cleaned up pretty much really quick there. So we were just at your house, I said. But here's something that brought conviction to my heart. The couple, the pregnant gal and the husband, they didn't live there. They were just, the people who lived there, they had just invited them to come live there because they had nowhere else to live. So, long and short of it is, I didn't have any gospel. I'd taken my gospel tracts and put them in my pocket that day, and I went in my car. I said, told him about our Sunday school bus, and he said he's got a 9-year-old daughter. Maybe she'd come to Sunday school, and was back there yesterday, but nobody was home. Left him gospel tracts, and we'll follow up on it. Point is, everything that we have, we can use for the Lord. And so, it's not really a big deal to give somebody a ride down to North Adams and to give them a ride back, or to drive back. In fact, on the way back, somebody offered to buy me an ice cream, but I turned them down. I've been eating too much ice cream lately. But the Lord asks us to place our resources in His hands. Pastor Ainsworth taught me this. It's from the scriptures years ago. Everything that we own is the Lord's. How can you use what you have to serve Him in some way? But look at this, the reaction of the Savior. So the Lord is aware of our needs. The Lord asks us to place our resources in His hands, but the Lord identifies the source of all our needs, or the meeting, maybe I should have said, of our needs. Look what He says here in verse 16. Then He took the 5 loaves and He took the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, He blessed them and He broke them and He gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. Before that whole crowd, He takes them and there He has them there. And I don't know if He held them up, but He made it obvious that He was looking toward heaven and He was praying and He was teaching them. It's another teaching moment. Look in John chapter 6 on your handout, this account. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. There, I love it in John's account where he says, He had given thanks. Listen, learn. We need to learn to give thanks for what we have instead of grumbling about what we don't have. Amen? Amen? Amen. I like it. Learn to give thanks for what you have instead of what you don't have. Every good gift, James says, and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. The Lord is teaching them some things here. He's teaching them, listen, when I am involved, the need is not too great. The Lord says, when I am involved, the resources are not too small. When I'm involved, I'm aware of your needs. When I'm involved, he says, just place what you have in my hands and see what I can do with it. The Lord identifies the source as he prays to his heavenly Father. And then we're reminded of this, that his resources are unlimited. So you have over 5,000 people that are going to be fed by 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He tells them to sit down, and they do so, the Bible says in verse 15, and they did so, and they made them all to sit down. And he takes the loaves, he blesses them. Now look at verse 17. The Bible says, and they did eat, and were all filled. And there were taken up fragments that remained to them, 12 baskets. Not only did everyone have enough to eat, probably could have had seconds. But at the end of all this, the Lord says, listen, gather up everything that's left from these 5 loaves and these 2 fishes. Gather it all together. Talk about leftovers. They're going to end up ending with more than they started with. But that's how the Lord works. And I like the fact that this is recorded here. I believe it's recorded for 2 reasons. Just to teach us the abundance of God's goodness and mercy and grace. But I notice this too, that the Lord is not a God of waste. Just because it's left over, let's not waste it. The Lord's resources are unlimited. John 6:13 puts it this way on your handout. Therefore they gather them together, fill the 12 baskets with fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above. I like that. Over and above unto them that had eaten. Boy, talk about their cup full and running over. It's a teaching moment. It started with a hungry crowd. It started with a great need. It started with what seemed to be the impossible. But with God, all things are possible. We need to be reminded of that. And now you have the reaction of the crowd, and we learn from the crowd's reaction. Notice what it says here. So in verse 14, they were about 5,000 men, and he said to the disciples, make them sit down by 50s in a company. In Mark's gospel, it's put this way, on your handout. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass, and they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by 50s. I noticed this, that they responded to his instruction. They responded to his instruction. And you and I, it's so important in our lives when we sit under the preaching and teaching of God's Word and the instruction of God's Word. And here they are. These people are hungry. They've got nowhere to go. The Savior says to the apostles, you go tell them to sit down. And so the Bible tells us they sat down. They did what they were told to do. Reminds me of another account in Luke, I think in Luke chapter 5, where you remember we preached on it. It's another fish example. They fished all night. And they were done fishing and they caught nothing. And the Lord said, put your nets on the other side and cast out. And they had so many fish that they couldn't pull them back on the boat. The crowd here responds to the instruction of the Lord. And they sat down. And then we see they're rewarded for their obedience. They just did what the Lord said. And you and I, if we would just learn, because it's always for our benefit, it's always a positive. It is never a negative to not listen. Let me make sure I say this right. It's never negative to listen to the Lord. It's always a positive. When you follow the Lord's instructions, you're not going to walk away and say, oh, that was a mistake. No. It doesn't work that way. And so the crowd sits down. And they begin to be fed. They were filled, the Bible says, in John chapter 6 and verse 12. They were filled. They didn't go away hungry. They were rewarded for their obedience. They responded to his instruction. But here's the most important thing. They recognized who he was. See, this miracle is not just to keep them fed. It's just not to take care of them. It's just not so that they didn't go to bed hungry that night. This miracle and everything that was taking place here was to identify Christ for who he was. And we really see that, look on your hand as we finish, in John 6:14. This is how the account is given here. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. You know what that's referring to? It's referring to the Old Testament prophets. In fact, in Deuteronomy, I think it's in chapter 14, where Moses said, there shall rise up a prophet from among us. And he was prophesying when the Lord would come. The entire crowd there, they began to think, this is the Messiah. This is that prophet. This is the Christ that has come. That's the whole purpose for the miracle. It's not to fill their bellies. It's to point them to Christ. It's to point them. And when God does that in our lives, whatever the experience, whatever the problem, whatever the setback, or the triumph, or the victory, when we bring God into it, when we see God's hand in it, all of that is to point us to the fact that there is a God in heaven who loves us, who's compassionate, who cares for us, who doesn't have his ears are not closed or shut, and his eyes are not closed to us. His ears are always open. His eyes are always open. He knows what's going on, and he says, I do have an answer. I do have a solution. Bring me just what you have. And the little boy, he didn't preach on the little boy. That's all he came, that's probably the lunch that his mom set him with. Kudos to the little boy, amen? I think he just offered him up willingly. Anybody got any food? I could just see this little guy. I got five loaves. I got two fishes. It was like the story I heard years and years and years ago. In fact, I think Pastor Ainsworth told the story. It was a missions conference at a church. And missions conference is about helping missionaries get to the foreign field. And they get there two ways. It's always been this way. There's a biblical pattern. I don't have time to preach that whole message. But they get there because we pray for them, and we get there because we help finance them. And a missions conference was taking place, and the pastor and the missionaries were doing their best to just share their burden, and it was time to give. And they took up an offering, and a little boy walked down the aisle, and the offering plates were there, and the little boy took the offering plate, and he put it on the ground, and he stood right at the offering plate, and he said, I'll just give myself to God. So often the faith of a child, we lose it as we grow up. You know, children will believe anything, won't they? They have all kinds of faith. And somewhere along the way, we just start to, we know better than God. We can handle this problem better than God. We can handle our finances better than God. No, these people, they were rewarded for their obedience, but they recognized who Jesus was. Now, I don't have time. I'll probably teach this in next Sunday morning's adult Bible class. But I'm pretty much finished for this morning. But the very next day, Jesus preaches the sermon that I am the bread of life. The very next day. He says there's another kind of bread. Not the kind of bread that fills you physically, but the kind of bread that fills you spiritually. He says, I am that bread. I am that bread. So as we close the service this morning, this part of the service, the message, listen, I don't know what your problem is, what your need is, what you've experienced or haven't experienced. Maybe you've gone through that experience and you just saw God work in a great way. Always give God thanks for that. These things have come into our lives for our learning. Sometimes I don't think we'll even know we've learned something, but I don't think we'll know the full extent of what we learn until we get to heaven. But God does these things in our life. He sometimes takes what seems like impossible and he makes it possible. So whatever your situation is this morning, you think it's just an impossible situation. It probably is for you and for me, but it's not for God. Just pray. Bring your 2 fish and 5 loaves of faith to the Lord. And say, Lord, I might not have great faith, but I do have faith that you can do something here and you can multiply my faith. As we close out this service this morning, we're going to sing a hymn. I would challenge you, whatever you're dealing with, as we begin to sing, whether you come to the altar, if not, just at your seat, just bow your head and say, Lord, I'm dealing with this issue, and I'm dealing with this issue. And I just seem so impossible. So I'm bringing it to you. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. This morning, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, as we're getting ready to finish, as a believer, I've already given you the challenge. But maybe you're here this morning and you say, you know, Pastor Malachek, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I'm not sure I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Because you see, the greatest need that you have and the greatest need that that group of 5,000 plus people had was not to be fed, it was to be saved. To be saved. That's the greatest need. Because if you're not saved this morning, girls, you're lost and you're on your way to hell. Mom and Dad, if you're not saved this morning, you're lost. And you're on your way to hell. But Jesus came to save you. That's the greatest need. The feeding of the 5,000 was no big deal for Jesus. But his hanging on the cross, his hands being nailed to that cross and his feet to that cross, his being buried and raising up and being risen from the dead, that's how we get saved, by putting our faith and trust in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Are you saved this morning? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Because that's the greatest need you have. There is no hope without Him. And if you're here this morning and you're not sure, but you say, I'd like to be sure, it's very simple. You must believe that you're a sinner. You must admit that. Lord, I am a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Bible says. We've all sinned. None of us is perfect. We're sinners by nature. And you must believe that Jesus died and he paid for your sin on the cross. You must put your faith in that and that alone. And by faith you call upon him and say, Lord, I do admit to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe, Jesus, that you died and you paid for my sin. And I call upon you today to be my Savior. I'm giving to you my life. Every head bowed and every eye closed right now. Lord, please save me. I understand. I admit to you that I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus died and paid for my sin. And I call upon him today to be my Savior. Right where you sit, you can call out to the Lord. just a minute we're going to stand and we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. Maybe there was one here today that you needed to make sure and you just called out to Jesus to be your Savior. Would you do this? I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to point you out. But if today you ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior, will you just slip up your hand and put it down? Anyone at all? I've never done that, but today I ask Jesus to be my Savior. Thank you. I see that hand. You can put it down. Today, Pastor, I prayed and I asked Jesus into my heart to be my Savior. Anyone else? Today I did that. I've never done that before, but today I did that. Father, bless now this hymn of invitation. Let it bring honor and glory to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand together. If you'd grab a hymn book, take your